And you may be seated. And thank all of you for being here this morning. It is a great day, and God has given all of us one more privilege and the honor of being able to gather collectively this morning to study and to focus upon the Holy Scriptures that God has given unto us, and how grateful we are. You know, you and I ought to be thankful every day for all the blessings of God. Certainly heaven is going to be the great blessing that comes to those who know God and to those who do His will. And there should be nothing in the world that really excites us any more than really singing about heaven. You know, a lot of people begin their walk with Christ when they are baptized into the Lord, and many of them become unfaithful. They lose their excitement for spiritual matters. This morning, I want to talk about how we can actually maintain our spiritual fervor and our excitement as God's people. You should see, I should see, the excitement building in our life as a child of God when we become a Christian. We should. But let me ask you a question. Is the excitement building in your life? You know, we often use words like zeal and the word enthusiasm, and those are great words. But the word enthusiasm comes from two Greek words, the word in and the word theos, which means God is in you. God in you. That's really what it means. And David in the Old Testament said, zeal for thy house hath consumed me. We often ask questions like who, when, where, why, what, but how is the question we want to look at this morning. How do I maintain my excitement? Let me share with you this morning a number of things that I really believe will enable us to maintain our excitement and to be enthused. You know, we often talk about revival. David in the Old Testament also said, revive us again, O Lord, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Revival is not something that really someone else does for you. It is something that we do for ourselves. We revive ourselves. We do something to reignite the flame that once burned in our heart and in our life. Well, let me share with you and leave with you this morning a number of things that I really believe that God says will help us to maintain that spiritual fervor, that enthusiasm, that zeal that should characterize and embody the Lord's church. Number one, David said that we are to dwell in the secret place. Do you remember Jesus one time said something about the secret place? He said, when you pray, enter into secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. And David in Psalms chapter 91 and 1 said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We have to put ourselves in that secret place every day. Now, the secret place is no mystical place. It really isn't a place necessarily where you go every day. But we are in that secret place as we walk with God. God walking with us, we walking with Him. The Bible says of Enoch that he walked with God. I can't think of any greater statement about anyone than to think about the fact that an individual was one who walked with God. You know, we often ask God to walk with us, but should we not be saying, God, let me walk with you? We need to understand that every day that you and I are, as children of God, putting ourselves in the hand of God. We are. He is our shelter. And isn't that what David again said? When he said in Psalms 91 and verse 1 that we will abide under the shadow of the Almighty if we dwell in the secret place. But there's a second thing that you and I can do to maintain our zeal and our enthusiasm, and that is to renew our minds. Have you ever thought about the fact that every day we have to refocus our mind because our mind shifts to 1,000 different things? It does. If you're focused on God and you watch the evening news, it won't be long until your focus is off of God and it is on all the turmoil that is going on in the world. I found myself yesterday watching the news, and sometimes all the news is just simply bad news. It is bad news about what's going on in Egypt right now and all the uprising over there. We have bad news going on at John Peter Smith Hospital up in Fort Worth, where Ms. Munoz is on life support, and they are debating whether or not to remove her from life support, and that has become a big issue. It has gone to the courts. You know, so many people agonize over things like that. Should I take them off life support or not? My big question is it right to put someone on life support when there is no brain activity going on? We have a lot of bad news going on in the world, and we just have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, according to the book of Romans, chapter 12, and verse 1. To renew the mind. We need to renew the mind every day. You see, renewing the mind means that we not only see things differently, and we should. We should hear things differently. We should make sure that we're not hearing all of this bad news that is programming us and taking us out of the secret place and putting us out there somewhere where we don't want to be. Renewing the mind is not just seeing differently or hearing differently. It is mindful of what you say and how you say it. Renewing the mind means that you do things differently as well. And then you start thinking differently. The Apostle Paul said that we're to think on things that are lovely, things that are of good report, and if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, thinking differently. For Psalms 119 and verse 11 says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." I want to put your word in my heart that I might think and dwell on it. David said it is my meditation all the day. You know what meditation is? Meditation is not reading the Bible. Meditation is thinking on what you have already read. That I might not sin against thee. Have you ever heard people say that ignorance is bliss? You ever heard people say that? Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is poverty. We have a lot of it in the world today simply because people are ignorant. We have a lot of devastation in our world today simply because people are ignorant. We have a lot of tragedy in our world today because of ignorance. We have a lot of problems in the world today, and much of the illness and all the problems stem from the fact that people are just ignorant in a lot of ways. Maybe they're ignorant of proper hygiene that causes them to get ill or to get sick. You and I live in a maze every day. We do. And we will never, ever get through this maze of life and accomplish what God has challenged each and every one of us to do without focusing our mind on things that are above. That's why we have to renew our mind every day. Renew it. And that's why Paul said that to the Roman church in Romans chapter 12. He says, renew your mind every day. We will never know the good will of God, let alone the acceptable and the perfect will of God, if our minds are not renewed. So how do I maintain my spiritual fervency and the fire that burns deep within my soul? Stay in the secret place. Stay in contact with God. Stay focused on Him. Renew your mind. And then thirdly, do not carry the burdens of life. Do you know God says, and I know this is counter maybe to what much of the world has to say this morning. They say, pick up your burden and carry it. Well, that's not what God says, is it? For in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5 and verse 7, the Word of God says, "Casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you." Many of us go through life carrying a burden that God did not mean for us to carry. Many of us try to bear a big burden that God wants us to unload upon Him. Now, if you go back and read that passage, you'll understand it even deeper if you go back and read it and read it and read it again. For He says, casting not part of your care, but He says, casting all of your care upon Him because He cares for you. Have you ever thought about the cares that you bear every day? Let me just ask you a question. Now, you don't have to answer this question, but are you carrying a burden this morning? You probably are. You probably don't want anyone else to know what your burden is. But I'm going to tell you something. There are all kinds of burdens in this world. There is what we call business burdens. People that are in business for themselves today understand well what a business burden is. And how difficult it is sometimes to survive, especially when the economy is bad. Business burdens. We have what we call relationship burdens. Husbands and wives have great burdens in their marriage, getting along with each other. Or maybe we have burdens with our children. We're bearing those burdens every day. Maybe children don't talk to you, or you don't talk to your children, or perhaps maybe there's a church member that you're having a relationship problem with, or someone at the job. There are all kinds of relationship burdens that we bear. And someone says, "You mean we can cast those on Jesus?" Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you something else, that when you cast them on the Lord will give you direction to overcome. We have what we call tax burdens, debt burdens. You know, we have a real problem with debt in this country. There are more people in our world today who are deeper in debt than ever before. There are people who have maxed out not only their Discover card, their Visa card, their MasterCard. They are overdrawn down at the bank, and they're carrying that burden. God wants to lift it, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. You've got to renew your mind. You've got to change your action and what you do. You can't go deeper and deeper in debt. And the Word of God says that we're to owe no man anything. All kinds of burdens. Business burdens, relationship burdens, debt burdens, tax burdens. Now, you may not be bearing one now, but you will by April 15th. Can you handle it? I'm serious. Maybe it's going to be a big burden for you, and you don't know how I'm going to handle this. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. You know what? There again, you have to ask God for direction. Cast your cares on Him. But then there's financial burdens. We have a lot of people today that are unemployed. Doesn't look like it's getting too much better nationwide. A lot of people think they have the answers for it up in Washington. Doesn't look like they're being real successful at changing that picture. There's only one who can, and that's Jehovah God. And then there are health burdens. People get sick. People agonize over their health, their problems. Don't know what's going on in their life. Why did I get cancer? Why did I get heart disease? Why did the stroke happen? Why did all of these maladies happen? God says that we are to cast our cares on Him. Sometimes people feel that they just can't take it anymore. Have you ever felt that way? And because of it, you lost your enthusiasm. You haven't maintained your desire to be on fire for God. You're just kind of lukewarm. You're just kind of burning, smithering down here. people sometimes ask. Does God care? Does God really care? And if He really cares, where is God? I've had people in the years that I have been a minister of the gospel of Christ come to me and say, I just don't believe God loves me anymore. And I said, well, why? And they say, well, you know, if God loved me, why did He allow this to happen to me? You know what? I believe God allows things to happen to us to strengthen us. And I'm going to tell you something. Adversity can do one of two things. It can either destroy you or it can strengthen you. It can do whatever you choose to allow it to do. If you recognize that sometimes adversity is a part of the will of God. You know, when you look back in ancient times, in the days of ancient Israel, they went through one problem right after another. They did. It wasn't all a bed of roses for them. They faced trial and persecution and temptation and all kinds of adversity. And sometimes people look at life and say, well, what's fair about that? It wasn't fair for Jesus to go to the cross when we talk about fairness. And I'm going to tell you again, God never ever did say that life was going to be fair, did He? Didn't. We must cast all of our anxieties upon Him, for He cares for us. But you know, a lot of times in life, we just complain about everything in the world that is going on. We're never satisfied. We're not. There was a man one time who joined a monastery. And the head monk said, hey, you know what? You can only, here at this monastery, you can only speak two words a year. And that's it. Boy, would that challenge you to think about what you say? You can only speak two words each year. The first year, the time came for the man to speak. And all he said was, bed hard. The second year, he said, food bad. The third year, he said, I quit. And the head monk answered, doesn't surprise me. You hadn't done anything but complain since you've been here. Now, you know what? Many of us, God placed us here in this world. He blesses us, but sometimes we complain about His blessings. We complain that they were not what we wanted. We complain that He didn't give us enough. We complain that maybe we're not blessed like somebody else over here. And so we start blaming God and saying God is unfair. We need to refocus our mind. We need to renew our mind. And quit carrying the burdens of life alone. What happens when you really get excited in life? I've seen people who are really excited in life. You know what? That's not to say they didn't go through one problem right after another. But it didn't destroy them. It didn't weaken them as a Christian. I have come to the conclusion that everybody, and I'm going to tell you something. Now, you may look at this audience this morning, and I'm looking at every one of you, and if you had the opportunity to look at this whole audience, I can tell you that you would truthfully say that everybody in this audience is bearing a burden. They are. Every one of us. We're all fighting difficult situations in our life. We don't like to let other people know that. And sometimes when you look at people, you think they are the epitome of perfection. They have no problems with their children. They have no problems in their marriage. They have no problems with their finances. They have no problem with debt. They have no problems with other people. Everything is just going great in their life. That is a facade. That's disillusionment. That's why we ought to be kind, because everybody you meet is fighting a battle. They are. But I've also come to the conclusion that the battles will not seem as hard when you're excited about Jesus and when you have cast your cares upon Him. You know why that's true? Is because when you are focused and you're excited about God, gloom and depression and fear and doubt will find it hard to really bring you down. Have you ever seen people, Christians, that are going through all kinds of problems and yet they maintain their fervor and their enthusiasm and their zeal and their drive for God, while on the other hand, people go through problems and it just weakens them and they're at rock bottom? Folks, that's a mindset. You renew your mind. You don't let it get the best of you. Now, I'm not here this morning to disillusion you even further by telling you that you will never, ever have a bad day if you are a Christian. Now, the reason I tell you that is because we're not in heaven yet. We haven't reached our heavenly home. And in this life, we will always have spiritual warfare. You see, the devil is trying to take away your enthusiasm. He's the only one in this world who's trying to do that. He's trying to take away your drive. He is trying to weaken you and to get you discouraged. We need to recognize that there is a highway to heaven. And we must take that right road, according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. And on that road, recognize that we can either be joyful or we can be sad. Nehemiah 8 says that the joy of the Lord is my strength, and He should be our strength every day. You know, there are many wonderful promises in the Word of God. Many of them. Many wonderful promises. If you read the Bible, we sing that song, you know, standing on the promises of God. But if you were to ever go back through the Bible and just trace all the wonderful promises of God, there are so many. There is one that really stands out to me, one that has become my very, very favorite, and is found in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. None more profound than this one. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who have been called according to His purpose. They are in the secret place. The secret place. But then fourthly, how do you maintain your enthusiasm and your spiritual excitement? And what happens when you do? Others are drawn to you. And when others are drawn to you who are excited, it excites you even more. It does. This is what Christ meant when He told us to let our light shine before the world, that they might see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven, Matthew 5 and verse 16. You see, optimism is like a magnet. It is. Have you observed, I have observed it, that when people start getting down in the mouth and they're complaining and they're griping and they're murmuring and woe is me, you know what people do about people like that? They start running. They can't get far enough away from them. You know why? It's because you don't want to get down on that level. You don't want to get in that mentality. But when people get excited, you ever noticed how people want to be around people that are excited about life? Boy, we get thrilled. We get worked up. We do. Optimism is a happiness magnet. And if you stay positive, good things and good people will be drawn to you. You know, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. He said that about Himself. He did. And I can tell you that God says that people will be drawn to us when we maintain our spiritual fervency. He does. Because people want to be with people who are full of the joy of the Lord. You ever heard the old expression, misery loves company? It does. People don't want to be in misery by themselves. They want to pull you into a miserable way of feeling. That's not to say that you don't sympathize or even empathize with people that are having problems. For the book of Romans chapter 12 says, you rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with them that weep. And I'm saying you do that, but you don't stay in that mode. You get out of that mode. For in John 15 and verse 1, Jesus said, "These things have I written unto you, that my joy may be in you." Now listen to what he says here. He's not talking about a little joy down here. He's not talking about a little excitement over here occasionally. But notice what he says. "I have spoken these things unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy might be full." We ought to be full joys. Not killjoys. David said it this way, "As the deer panteth after the brooks," the water brooks, "so my soul panteth after thee, O God." How many of you ever go to a physician? How many of you have a family doctor? No wonder y'all are sick. You know, everybody needs a family doctor. They do. We need a family doctor, don't we? But who wants a doctor with a depressed attitude? Not me. I want a doctor who can offer hope. I want a doctor who doesn't offer just gloom and doom about the things that are happening in my life. I want to go to a physician who says, "Hey, you may have a problem, let's work on it." He doesn't just shake his head. Some people say that while there is life, there is hope. I think that was Cicero. But shouldn't it be that while there is hope, there is life? While there's hope, there's life. I want to put myself in the hands of the great physician. Because I'm going to tell you why. I'd rather have the great physician attending me than anyone else. Jesus is the great physician. He is. How many of you would want a coach if you were playing ball? Would you want a coach that was already self-defeated? Now, just pull this out. Poor Alabama this year, they thought they were going to the national championship. But who would want a coach that is always down and out about life? They are already defeated in his mind. I don't want a coach like that. If you had pending litigation, how many of you would want an attorney with a pessimistic attitude? Who would want an attorney who says, "Well, we're going to go to trial, but I can tell you right now, it's over and done. You're going to face consequences." I wouldn't want someone like that, would you? Let's go to the next slide, George, if you will. We need to let Jesus be our physician, our coach, and our attorney. He is the one who is capable of dealing with all of our problems. He is the great physician. And I want to be on Jesus' team. And I want to stay excited. Now you may say, "Well, now Jesus is not a coach." Yes, he is. He is the one who coaches me every day how to live. He's my physician, but he is my coach. And someday, did you know Jesus himself said that he is going to be standing before God as our attorney, representing us? According to Matthew 10 and verse 32, he's going to be representing you. For he said, "If you confess me before men here, He said, someday I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. He's going to confess us as His child. And He came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. Maybe you've lost your enthusiasm for God this morning. Maybe if the truth were known, you've lost your excitement about God. Let me tell you something. You can recoup it. You can. You need to realize that the sun is always shining above the clouds. It is. We just have to move the clouds out of the way and see the sun once again. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you need to realize the importance of obeying God. And God's plan is very simple. It is. It's so simple that even young children understand it. That if we come to Him with a real desire to get to know Him and to serve Him and to honor Him and accept His offer for life eternal, then God will show us the way. That way to heaven this morning begins with your acknowledgement of Jesus as the Son of God. It begins with a desire to say, God, I want to be excited about You and things that really are important. You know, the things of this world are mundane. They're trivial. Hey, they're going to play the Super Bowl next year or next week. How many of you remember who won the Super Bowl last year? How many of you remember who even played in the Super Bowl? You know, Adam? He's smiling. I thought he knew. I thought he had me on that one. Anybody know who won the Super Bowl last year? I think JB's the only one. No. But you see, we forget. Yeah, that's why it's mundane. It's trivial. The thing that is really important is to have a relationship with God because it's lasting. So this morning, if you're not a Christian, we're going to sing a song of encouragement to give you an opportunity to follow God. You can either allow that cloud to hover over you or you can move it out of the way and see the sun and come to Jesus Christ by an acknowledgement of your desire to obey Him and to confess His sweet name before this audience, repenting of every sin that you have committed, and then by being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And if you're a Christian this morning, and this is what we're really talking about this morning, Christians who lose their joy and their excitement, I hope this morning as we sing this song of encouragement that you'll reflect upon your own life. Have I lost mine? What can I do to recoup it? I hope we've given you information enough this morning that will allow you to do that while we stand and while we sing.